Has anyone here ever seen that movie called Cracker Jack? Have you seen the movie Cracker Jack? I don't know if I should recommend it because there are some sort of crude scenes in it. It's got Mick Malloy. Have you heard of Mick Malloy? People over here have. It's a very funny movie. But how it starts off, it's Sydney, and you know, traffic in Sydney is absolutely horrible. Has anyone here ever driven in Sydney sort of recently? Not recently. I went there last year, and it is just horrible. It's Melbourne is like Ararat compared to Sydney. That's how bad Sydney is. It's horrible. And they've got real problems with their traffic. And so the movie, it's a comedy. And what Mick Malloy does, well, his character, is he joins the local bowls club so that he can get a really good car park. It's a great idea. It's ingenious. And then what he does is he sells that car park, like he rents it out to people who want to go and get a car park in the city. And so he makes all this money from like his $30 membership down at the local bowls club. It's ingenious, isn't it? And so really what Mick Malloy was doing, he was just trying to, you know, he was just trying to make a bit of money. He just wanted the benefits of being part of the club, and he didn't really want to play bowls. But little did he know that this bowls club was going belly side up. They didn't have enough money to keep going, and they really needed to win this next competition so that they could keep their bowls club alive. And so all the people were either dead or really sick at the bowls club. And so they went through their members list. Who can we get to bowl for us? And it comes to Mick Malloy. And so, you know, the movie goes on about how, you know, he just sort of turns up because he just wants the money, you know, for the car park. And then by the end, he's actually a really good lawn bowler. And, you know, they save the day. Everyone's happy. Happy ending. It's good, isn't it? And as I was thinking about that, I actually started thinking that that's sort of what Paul is talking to us about here in Ephesians chapter 6. Because over the last 5 weeks, we've been talking about this true identity, who we are in Christ, what is done for us. We've seen that we are blessed. We've seen that we are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. The old is gone. The new has come. We're ministers of the gospel. We can be full of love. There's all this good stuff. But then there's a bit of a warning. And he says, finally. And so he sort of begins to wrap it up. And so if you want to follow along with me, it's Ephesians chapter 6. And we're starting at verse 10. And this is what he says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Okay, so he's promising us all that good stuff in the last five chapters, the last 5 weeks. But now he's saying, but now you need to be strong in the Lord because you are going to be attacked by the devil. Then it keeps going on. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And I'll just keep reading. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and shoes as for your feet, putting on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Titius, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word has the power to create. It can create a new spirit within us. It can create good stuff out of bad stuff. We thank you, Lord, that that's what you want to do to us this morning. And so, Lord, this morning I pray that you would encourage us, that you would give us hope, that you would reassure us of your goodness and of your mercy and of your compassion, and that you would remind us, Lord, of what you have sent us here for. And we ask that in Jesus' name. They all said, amen. Okay, so this morning I've got 3 points, and they're things that I think we forget. And so it's sort of like all of us here, we've joined the Christian club, and we've been told about all these good things, and now God is sort of saying, actually, there's a few things that you need to remember. So point one is you have an enemy. Turn to the person next to you and say, you have an enemy. It's not me, but you have an enemy. Craig Stevens, when he was down, he said, you have an enemy who hates you and wants you dead. Ooh, he's a bad guy, isn't he? The enemy. Okay. Ephesians 6, verses 11 and 12 spells this out very, very clearly for us. We'll go through this real quick. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. That word schemes in the Greek, I looked it up, and what it actually means is that the devil lies in wait. So he's sort of hiding behind a bush, ready to jump out and get you. Okay, so that's what the devil's trying to do. It continues, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Okay, we do not wrestle against people. That's not who our fight is against. But it is against the rulers, the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Okay, this is talking about demons. Okay, we don't need to be scared. Okay, but demons. And the word is very, very clear that here we've got the kingdom of darkness up here on the left, and on the right we've got the kingdom of God. Okay, the kingdom of darkness is ruled by demons and by the devil. Okay, and they can do all sorts of things to us. In John chapter 10, verse 10, and Sarah actually read it out at the prayer meeting this morning, says that the devil has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. And when we look at the kingdom of darkness, we see that all those ideas, all those sort of attitudes, that's what they are. They're there to steal, kill, and destroy your happiness, your freedom, your salvation, your health, your well-being. That's what the kingdom of darkness is all about. Here's a couple of other things that demons can do. They can tempt us to act or think a certain way. So that's to remember Jesus in the desert in Luke chapter 4 when he's tempted by the devil. He says, oh, you know, if you do this, I'll give you that. You know, the devil tempts us. He speaks to us. Secondly, demons can cause us to act differently. Just read throughout the Gospels how they impact people. And they can make us sick. They can make us deaf. You know, so demons are real, and demons can actually harm you. And so as Christians, Paul here is now saying, I've told you all the good stuff, but let me just drive in how serious this next bit is. And he says, you have an enemy. So turn to the person next to you and say, you have an enemy. You have an enemy. Okay. All right. Number two, second thing that you have to remember, it says, you have the victory. So turn to the person next to you and say, you are victorious. Say, there's nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Don't worry about the devil. Don't worry about demons. Nothing to fear, because you have the victory. And Ephesians 6, it continues to tell us how we have this victory. It's interesting. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Okay, now it begins to tell us, I'm going to find this other sheet, there we go, okay, begins to tell us what all this armor of God is. So the first thing is the belt of truth, and before we go any further, this armor of God is describing, the pieces of armor describes like a Roman soldier, and some people believe that Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians while he was sort of chained to a soldier, but he'd had a lot of time to think about these soldiers. And so now he's trying to explain, I guess, a spiritual truth in something that everyone would just understand. Okay, so the belt of truth was a piece of their equipment that held everything in together. It held everything in place. If you didn't have the belt, you know, the breastplate that would protect you and all that other sort of stuff, it would sort of flop around and you're not really protected. So you need the truth to be protected. But often as humans, as Christians, we sort of compromise on this belt. See, a belt doesn't change. It holds something fast, doesn't it? If you had a belt that was like elastic and it just kept going like this, it would never hold anything down and your pants would fall down, wouldn't they? So you need a firm belt that you can put in. And that's the truth of God. The truth of God never changes. But for many of us, our truth changes when we come into a different situation. And so what Paul is saying here is you need to know the truth that does not change. And that would hold everything in together, the truth. The second part is the breastplate of righteousness. So obviously, if you have a breastplate on, what's it protecting? Your chest. What's your heart? Because if you get stabbed in the heart, what happens? You're dead. It's all over. All over. And so what Paul is saying here is that you need something to protect your heart, to protect your soul, your spirit, and it's righteousness. Now, when I was growing up, I thought that meant my righteousness. I thought I had to be good. I thought if I was good, I would be protected. I thought if I obeyed God, did all the right things, I would be protected. But it's not actually our righteousness, because it says put on righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus, because we are not righteous. I've said this quite a few times now, but I think it's in Isaiah the prophet says, our good deeds are like filthy rags to God. So even if you think you're pretty good, that's nothing compared to God. Okay? So you need the righteousness of God. You need to put that on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Next bit. The gospel shoes, the gospel of peace shoes. Now that's pretty easy. What happens if you're not wearing shoes? You can get sore feet. You can get blisters. They can get tough feet, can't you? Yeah. Okay, but if you're wearing the wrong shoes, you know that it gets very uncomfortable. I work this out every Red Shield appeal time. Every time it's Red Shield appeal, for some reason, my shoes have given up the ghost. They're done. And, we're walking around and my feet get wet and there's rocks stuck in them and all that sort of thing. So if you get the wrong shoes and that sort of thing, they'll get worn out and your feet will get worn out. And so we need the gospel that comes from God, the good news that comes from God. You see, if we try to evangelize and try to share the gospel with people in our own strength, in our own power and good news that comes from us, you're going to get burnt out. You're going to get worn out. And so we need the gospel shoes because they're always good. They never wear out. God's gospel is always good. Next one, shield of faith. What happens if you don't have a shield? You'll get hit by the sword or by the arrows, all that sort of thing. Okay, so we need the shield of faith. Now, if we don't have faith, or if we put our faith in something that is not of God, it's like you've just got a straw shield. It's no good. The arrows and the sword can come straight through. Only God can protect you. So you need to put your faith in God. Next one, helmet of salvation. Where do we find salvation? Jesus, yeah. And so if you don't have Jesus, if Jesus is not your salvation, if you are trusting in something else to save you, your good works, your family, or anything other than Jesus Christ, it's like you've got an ice cream container on your head as your helmet. Absolutely useless and you look stupid. Okay, so you need Jesus, the helmet of salvation. Okay, last one, we get a weapon. Okay, this last one is the sword of the Spirit. Now, you need a sharp sword, don't you? Otherwise, it's not going to do any damage, really. Well, you could have a blunt one. You could hit someone on the head. But it's not really going to kill the enemy, is it? And we want to defeat the enemy. We don't just want to bruise. We want to win, don't we? And so what it's talking about is the Word of God. The Word of God is sharp and active. There's so often we can get caught up and think, okay, I'm going to use my own advice. I'm going to use God, human wisdom. I'm going to use what Google tells me or what the people on the TV tell me to do. But really, if you really want to win, you have to live by God's word, because that is powerful and it is sharp, and that's what we need. Okay, so we have the victory. Jesus, when he died just before he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." All the problems of your sin, of all this darkness, he said, "It is finished. It's over. I've won." Then the devil will come to you and say, "No, it's not. You need to do this." And he'll start trying to get you to think that it's not finished and that what God has done on the cross is not enough for you, when really, It's more than enough. You have the victory. Jesus has won it for you. So turn to the person next to you and say, you are victorious. Very good. Okay, point three. This is the last point. You have a cause to die for. Mick Molloy, he had no idea that he had to play lawn bowls if he wanted to keep his membership. But you have a cause to die for. So turn to the person next to you and say, you have a cause. Okay, so what is the cause? We know that there's the kingdom of darkness. It's trapping people all the time. People are in bondage, you know, to sin and to all and to fear and to guilt and shame and condemnation. Okay, we know that about 120,000 people die every day. I think there's about four people, either four or yeah, I think it's four people every day die in Ararat. Sorry, every week die in Ararat. Four people. Okay, there is an urgent battle here. People need the love of Jesus. People need the life that Jesus can give to them. They need it. They're in a dark place, and we have the light. We need to share it with them. And so just for a moment now, I just want to get you to imagine something. I want you to imagine an army, a big, strong army. And it has all these trained soldiers. In fact, they're the most highly trained soldiers in the world. Okay? They can kill you 100 ways before you hit the ground, sort of thing. Okay? Trained soldiers. Next thing, they have the most advanced weapons that you can think of. Lastly, they've got like this defense sort of thing over their country that protects them. Missile comes in and lasers go up and go poof. They're never in harm. But then I want you to imagine that these guys sort of get a bit complacent and they start just enjoying life and they forget how good they are. They forget the weapons that they have. They forget they have an enemy. And eventually they allow an enemy to come across the border and to take control of their entire country. What sort of soldiers do you think they would be? They're pretty slack. You know, and if, you know, they've got, you see, they've got all the training, they've got the weapons, they've got the defense, but they're just not doing anything. You would say, slack soldiers, wouldn't you? Yeah, you'd say, you know, they've got complacent. They've forgotten that they have an enemy. They've forgotten that if they fought, they would have victory. They've forgotten that they actually have a cause to die for. They've forgotten that their cause is worth dying for. They've forgotten. And so this is, I guess, the story of the Salvation Army and why it's called the Salvation Army. Because back in England, in the days that the Salvation Army started up, there was the church and they had forgotten. They had forgotten that they were good soldiers. They had forgotten that as a Christian you have power, that you have amazing weapons, that you can actually be defended against the kingdom of darkness. They forgot all that. And so the church sort of went up the creek. So the Salvation Army started, and they introduced this thing called senior soldiership. And they introduced it as a way of reminding themselves, but also reminding other churches that we are all soldiers. They reminded people that we have an enemy, that we have the victory, and that there is a cause to die for. And so I'm going to ask all the senior soldiers to come up now, because it is Senior Soldier Renewal Day. I just want you to come stand over here. There you go. Thank you. All the senior soldiers. Thank you. Just come and... Wow, there's a lot, isn't there? Okay. Now, the whole point of soldiership and of the soldiership of the soldiers' covenant is that you realize that you have an enemy. You realize you have the victory and you realize that there is a cause to die for. There is a war. And so, soldiers, before we sign our renewal covenants this morning, I want to ask you a couple of questions. The first one is, are you really dedicated to the fight? Have you realized, have you remembered that there is a battle, that you have an enemy? I want to ask you, are you living a victorious Christian life? Or are you defeated? Because I need to remind you this morning that actually, Jesus has given you the victory on the cross. It's all done. Thirdly, I want to ask you if you are willing to die, whether you are willing to sacrifice for others that they may live. See, soldiership, it's not just something that every Christian has to do to, you know, as a Salvation Army, we don't believe you need to be a soldier to be a Christian. Not at all. But what soldiership is actually about is saying, I'm actually going to go an extra step. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to devote my life towards this war effort. And that's what these guys have all signed up to. And so, soldiers, this morning, just quickly again, I want you to remember, you have an enemy, you have the victory, and you have a cause. We're going to get you... Okay, we have some pens down here on the mercy seat. And Sandy, can I get you to hand one of these out to every soldier? Actually, I'm just going to grab one so I can read it out. Okay. And so what they'll be signing this morning, well, hopefully they'll be signing this morning, is a little renewal covenant that says, I have remembered, I have an enemy, I have the victory, I have a cause, and I will fight as a soldier of the Salvation Army. And so this is just a reminder for them of the promises that they have already made. And so you can just go right ahead and spend a bit of time in prayer. You can just turn around. There's pens down here. I might just grab some. If you could just grab a couple of pens and chuck them down that end. And as they sign that, I'm going to talk to everybody else. Okay. So everybody else, you too are a soldier because the Bible says that you are. You don't need epaulets to be a soldier. But the Salvation Army soldiership thing is just something a little bit extra. And I'll give you an opportunity later on if you feel called by God to become a soldier. But I've got some little covenants for you as well here. And they say, I have remembered that I have an enemy, I have the victory, and I have a cause, and I will fight. We have a cause that is worth dying for. Lord, I pray for every single one of us that we would remember that. I pray that we would live our life as though that was true. I pray that we would dedicate our lives for other people's joy, for their happiness, for their salvation. Lord, we ask that you use the Ararat Corps to lead many people to you. We ask that in Jesus' name. They all said, Amen. Amen.